The seas around our coast can be a dangerous place for sailors, leisure craft and holidaymakers on the beach. Keeping an eye on the North Norfolk coast is a team of trained volunteers who give their time to help ensure there are no disasters. Mike Hutchinson talked to Bob White, who manages the Coastwatch from Munsley. Mike first asked how the Coastwatch service came into being.
Well, originally, the Coast Guard was shut down in the 1990s because of financial reasons. The government decided that they'd do away with all the Coast Guard stations around the state, you know, around the country. And so gradually, one by one, they were shut. So by the end of about 1992, 93, there were no more Coast Guard lookouts anywhere. Unfortunately, there was an incident where two fishermen in Devon set off on their normal fishing trip, got into difficulties, and boat capsized and they died. Mm. They were both drowned. And this was completely in view of where there had been a Coast Guard station. The locals were obviously up in arms about this, and they got together and they thought that there was this old station there. So they clubbed together and they bought it off of, I think it was the National Trust had taken it over by this time, and they got it over the National Trust. And they refurbished it. So 1994, the first Coastwatch station was opened, and that was down at the Lizard.
And you've got a similar situation here in Munsley, because there was a Coast Guard station here ready for you to take over.
And funnily enough, our station was the second station to open. The guy who opened the one in Cornwall, he was a retired sea captain. His name was Tony Starling Lark. And he had a friend who was also a retired sea captain who lived in Overstrand. So he phoned him up and said, "Look, I'm doing this. How do you feel about it?" Richard, at the time, hadn't made his mind up what he was going to do. He was retired and he'd tried several things. He was in the throes of, he'd been offered a job on a ferry in the Caribbean, just going backwards and forwards between the islands on this ship. And luckily enough, he decided that he'd put up with the northeast winds on the coast of Norfolk to the balmy climate of the Caribbean, which was very lucky for us. And he opened the station at Munsley in May 1995.
Now, it also presumably had to be equipped, because you've got to have radio, and I don't know if you've got radar equipment there, but this is all expensive.
Oh yes. When Richard first opened, all he had was a notepad, a pencil and a compass. That was it. But like anything, it grows. It costs us in the region now to spend a year of for us to be able to function properly. It's about £6,000.
And, I mean, you get no help at all from any sort of government or national...
None whatsoever.
It's solely funded by local people.
Yeah, it's charitable donation. Or we go out, we do collections, we run events, all sorts of things, you know.
Now, how do you man the station? Because, you know, I understand that it's almost a 365 days a year thing. That must... quite a lot of effort.
It most certainly is. It's 365 days a year. In the summer, we are open from 8 until 6. In the winter, when it's darker, we 8 until 4. We only do two-hour shifts.
What training do these guys have? Because people come from all sorts of walks of life, so they're not familiar with nautical matters, are they?
I have got people, sort of ex-servicemen. I've got judge, a coroner, ex-coal board members, plumbers, firemen, policemen, everything.
Right.
They
all need to be trained about the ways of the sea.
That's right.
And who does the training?
I've got probably about 10 watchkeepers who do actually will train. Although a watchkeeper, once he's been trained, all he has to do is to be able to impart his knowledge of what he's been taught onto somebody else. We pride ourselves, quite honestly, on how professional we are. Although we're all volunteers, we are very professional. Well, I believe we are. And our training takes place. It's a one-to-one training. We only do it on a two-hourly basis a week, and probably 10 to 12 weeks, and you will be proficient, you know, to be able to do the job.
You've got the watchkeeper in the small brick tower. What actually are they doing? What are they looking at? They've got right. binoculars. Yeah. I know they've got a good view of the seafront. Yeah.
The motto of Coast Watch is eyes along the coast. That's what we are. We are eyes along the coast because, of course, the Coast Guard, which there isn't anymore, our nearest one is Bridlington. So, obviously, they can't see what's happening. So they have to rely on stations like us to report anything that we think needs reporting. We're in touch with them by phone. We've got radios, but the process is that you phone them first. You know, if they want you to be using the radio, then they will tell you. But we are beholden to the Coast Guard. They're the ones that make the rules.
To go back, really, they're watching the coast. Presumably you've got binoculars.
We have binoculars, a couple of pairs of very strong binoculars and an extremely strong telescope. We also have what we call an automatic identification system, which will show any ship in our area by name and tell us where it's going, where it's been, what speed it's doing. And we have a radar, which is an overlay, really, of the... but it will pick up blips on the screen, which possibly the AIS won't pick up. I have two radios. It's a listening watch and a watching watch. So a listening watch would be on channel 16 and channel 0.
Is it the North Norfolk coast particularly busy in terms of major shipping going backwards and forwards to the continent?
Fairly busy. Not as busy as down on the south coast. On average, we have about 8,000 ship movements a year and probably 1,000 leisure craft movements, especially in the summer. We have quite a lot of leisure craft as well, you know. So, and that they're the ones that we look after, or we try to look after, because the big ships, they look after themselves, basically. But we're more interested in kayakers, jet skis, small fishing boats, kids on lilos, which is the bane of everybody's
that
life.
That is a question I was coming to, that the summer months, because obviously Munsley is very, very popular as a resort, and people do take ridiculous chances.
Oh, they do, yeah. Yes, and this is the trouble. You know, we can watch out and we watch the beach, and sometimes, you know, you could pull your hair out when you see people doing it. I mean, luckily enough that we do have lifeguards on the beach as well. And although we can see far more than the lifeguards can, because they're down at ground level, we're quite high up. So if there is something we see and we don't think they've seen, we can be in contact with them.
And there is a lifeboat in Munsley, isn't
yep.
there? So you must be in communication with the people who run that.
We do exercises with them probably in the summer, 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah, so you're very linked into other services. You're into the National Lifeboat Service and the local lifeboat service, mm-hmm. rather, and the National Lifeguard.
Yeah.
So, and presumably other agencies like
police.
Well,
we are a part of the Search and Rescue Service, believe it or not. You know, I mean, we're all volunteers. Right the way up to the top, we're all volunteers. We've got over 50 stations right around the country with probably 2,500 members. People just don't realise what we do. Yeah. You know, it is quite amazing. And, I mean, we're quite proud of it, actually.
Well, we have every right to be. I mean, I know, for instance, that you won a Queen's Award in, was it 2009?
2009, yeah. We got the Voluntary Service, Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, and we were the first station to win that. Mm-hmm. And...
So can you tell me about any particular incidents?
Yeah,
we had one,
probably last year, I think it was. We were in touch with dive boats as well from seapooling, and one of them went out, and its GPS packed up. He lost all his electrics, and he had 2 divers down. No idea of his position. It was got foggy. The divers come up. They couldn't see the boat. He panicked, and he made Mayday call to Humber, which Humber didn't respond to. Anyway, so they made about 2 Mayday calls, and our watchkeeper heard the Mayday, and Humber hadn't responded. So he then phoned Humber and relayed their message to Humber, and they tasked a lifeboat and, found them, thank goodness. So if it hadn't been for our watchkeeper picking up the Mayday message, those two
could have been a tragedy.
There could have been a tragedy, yeah. We are probably the smallest of all the search and rescue charities, and the least known, but as you said earlier, if it wasn't for us, lots of things would happen that can be stopped.
Well, I have to say, I'm amazed at the work you do, and I can see how vital it is, and all I can say is good luck to you and long may you continue.
Right, thank you very much.
Mike Hutchinson was talking to Bob White of the Munsley Coastwatch Service.